thankful person. I believe I am. I try to always have a heart of thanksgiving. It's not always easy in the midst of certain circumstances, but I believe that's how I normally like to think of myself, as a person who is thankful. Yesterday, this last couple of weekends were kind of crazy, starting from a few weeks ago. I had a birthday, and Meg, we were going to go away for a night, and then she ended up getting sick, and prior to that, something else went on, and she was feeling really bad, because then she was sick again. She hasn't been feeling good these last few weeks, and she was just down, not from just not feeling good, but because we couldn't go away for my birthday. Things were just going on, and this week we said, hey, you know what, we're just busy, but let's just go Saturday, let's just take a ride down the shore, just get down for the day, you know, we'll just spend a couple hours down there, change the scenery, kind of do this, and the 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, well, the backstory is, our street is being paved. And if you know anything about paving streets in Philadelphia, they come and they break up the street first, and then they come and do the work on the manhole covers and the sewer cut and all those everything there. But the thing about it is, that's all wonderful, it's all preparation, but they break up the street, and then maybe about 2 weeks later they come to do the other work, and then we wait in some kind of limbo until they finally pave the street. So it's been going on for a couple of months, and the street, you know, the houses are dusty, the cars are dusty. I don't know how many times I've washed my car because it's just full of dust because the streets are all broken up. And all of a sudden, they blow the horns on a Saturday at 6 in the morning. We hear them going, move your cars or you will be towed. Move your cars or you will be towed. Okay, fine. I get up. Move one car because the other car was actually parked off of that street. You know, it was on another street. I said, guess what? And I was being thankful. I said, you know what? I'm thankful. They're paving the street, finally. They're paving the street. We get rid of this dust. We'll have no more people tripping over holes and stuff. And we're there. And then Meg says, well, we're going to go down the shore. And I said, oh, shoot. We got to have a little problem here because we got to move and pack and all this kind of stuff. So she said, you know what, let's just stay home. I said, you sure? She goes, yeah, let's just stay home. So we started to think of other things we were going to do that day as far as stuff that we have to do, again, work stuff, but we figured, we're home, let's get this all done. And about 4 hours later, about 12, something like that, maybe 6 hours later, about 12 o'clock, I look outside and I see the tow trucks taking cars and parking the cars, because they were towing people who didn't move, in front of our house. I went, wait, we had to move. So I run out, and I start to go out. Then Meg beats me, too, because I can see she's like, what's going on? And she says, yo, what's going on? She said, you're parking cars in front of the house. And the guy says, yeah, they're going to stop at the block above you. They're not going to do yours today. So we're like, oh. Now, I'm not going to get mad at the tow truck driver because he's just doing his job. But we're like really, really mad. And then, you know what? Then we finally said, you know what? It's going to get done. We can't get all grass about it. So I said, let's finish doing our day. At least we can move our cars now to do the stuff we had to do. We looked at trying to be thankful. And I go food shopping. Meg had to do some other kind of shopping. I'm food shopping. And as I'm food shopping, all of a sudden, I started to get a tremendous headache. And I don't get headaches, but I do have these headaches that come from my neck sometimes. And when I get them, they're usually just throbs and they just thing. And I'm there and I'm trying to finish and my head's pounding and everything. And I call Meg. I said, are you ready? I'm going to just check out. I'm going to meet you. And she said, yeah. She goes, what's wrong? I said, I got this really bad headache and I'm not feeling very thankful at all, right? And I get into the parking lot and I start to load my car. And I load my car and the head's going boom, boom, boom. And I hear, sir, this very weak voice, sir. And I turn around and there's this older woman. And she says, can you help me put my bags in the car? And I said, sure, ma'am. I said, sure. And I start lifting her bags into her car. And she's, I just had a heart operation. And I said, oh, I said, are you okay? You know, she says, I'm okay. She goes, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you. I said, yeah. I said, you have to thank him. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I said, listen, I said, sister, he's with you. I said, Jesus will help you. Jesus will take care of you. You know. And then she goes, oh, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And then I said, look, he promised he'll never leave you, sister, okay? He'll never leave you. And she got in her car very slowly, and I started to walk away with my head throbbing, and I turned in my car, and I said, thank you, Jesus. This is just a headache. thank you, Jesus, that I was able to be here to help this lady, not only with lifting her things into her car, but hopefully to give her some encouragement. It's not easy in the midst of stuff to be thankful and have a heart of thanksgiving, but we're called to do that. Psalm 136, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is, thank you for saying that. And what? His love endures forever. Two things right there to be thankful for. For his love, his goodness, his steadfast love, his goodness, that are always there. So many times in the Psalms, there's Psalms of thanksgiving. Psalm 30, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down to the pit. And it goes on and on. You know, you turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth. You know, and he says, O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. David's heart, to give him thanks forever. Yes, in difficult circumstances. In the times when God responds quickly. In the times when he's slower, at least from our perspective, to respond. The times when we feel like he's not responding at all. But what a statement in that psalm of God's character. He's so wonderful that we will praise him at all times and thank him at all times because of his character, because of who he is. Again, Psalm 28, verses 6 and 7. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song. In the midst of the hardships, David remembers the God who is, who was, and always will be the one that he can trust. And he wants to give him thanks. You know, Paul wrote this in the midst of many, many trials that he and the early church was going through. He said in 2 Corinthians this, he said, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. He said, thank you, God. Thank you, Father, because you always are leading us. And it's always a triumph. It's always a victory. Even when it doesn't seem like it, there's a victory march going on. There's a victory processional, a triumphal processional. And in that, we think and have this fragrance of the knowledge of you because we know, left to our own devices or the world around us which wants to chew us up and spit us out, that we would have a defeat instead of a victory. But we're going to have the fragrance of God over our victory in all the circumstances. Peter reminds us in his first epistle that when the church goes through, and we, the church in general, and then we go through griefs and all kinds of trials, he said that it's to help us to be proved genuine, to be better. That should result in praise from us, because one day all these things that we go through will fade away and we will see Jesus face to face. See, one of the characteristics of the end times, the times that draw, as Jesus' return draws closer, as we inch toward those, as we leap towards those, one of the characteristics of that time is unthankfulness, not being grateful. When you read, we're not going to turn there, but when you read in 2 Timothy about all the characteristics of the end times as we get closer to the return of Jesus, one of the things is people being ungrateful. See, when we are thankful and not ungrateful, it changes our hearts and it changes our perspective. I was dealing with someone today who, this morning actually, just, you know, had getting ready and coming to church and, you know, phone goes off and I had to take the call and just a tough situation. And as I was trying to, you know, think of the things to say, all I kept thinking of is, let me just say the words that would change their eye view and their perspective of their situation and to take their eyes off their situation, which was a tough situation, and turn their eyes back upon Jesus, the one who leads us in triumphal procession. the one that we can be thankful for, even in the midst of the greatest challenge that we're dealing with. When we focus on Jesus, when we are thankful to him, it moves our focus off ourselves, off the pain of our current circumstances. And then when we express that thanks, when we thank him with words and even more so with our deeds and our lives, it helps us to remember that he is in control. It doesn't seem like it at that time, and we don't always want to thank him, but when we begin to thank him, we realize he's in control. And then we can find out, as Peter says, that it's actually healthy and beneficial for us to go through what we're going through so that even in the hardship, we can say, thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing and working out in me. See, as much as the Bible does talk about a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of gratitude, it does speak to hearts of ingratitude and unthankfulness. You know, it tells us that when we are not thankful, we begin to have an arrogant spirit, an ungrateful heart. And in that, we cannot have true fellowship with God. And even as a Christian who may go through times, and we all have been there, of times of ingratitude or times of not being thankful to God, you're not being grateful for all he's done to us. In those times when you're going through that, you realize that though he never will leave you nor forsake you, there are those times that it's hard for you to hear from him. It's hard for you to know and experience all that he has designed us to experience and what he wants from us in our life. We can't experience all of what it means to be the child of God and what we were created to be. So God wants us to be thankful. See, ingratitude has repercussions. You know, one of the things that I remember reading in God's Word is when the Apostle Paul was writing in the epistle to the Romans, and he was giving a description of the downfall of a society or an individual person. And when he talks about all the things that begin to go in that downward spiral, and when he talks about idolatry and homosexuality and all kind of rebellion, he also mentions unthankfulness. You know, verse 21 of Romans 1 says, although they knew God, they neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him. But their futile thoughts, their futile hearts were darkened. See, a heart that is ungrateful, a heart that is not full of thanksgiving to God, will become a heart that is ungrateful and a heart that becomes darkened. See, as long as a person or a culture stays that way, unthankful to God, they begin to lose then the presence of God in their lives. The recognition of this God who loves them and the God who cares for them. See, thankfulness towards God requires a belief that God is, first of all. But when we recognize that he is and exists, then we have to begin to think of his character. And even though we go through times that are very challenging, we have to remember this God whom we can praise in spite of it all. See, ingratitude fails to recognize God's character and the fact that he is a very present help in times of trouble. We grow hard-hearted when we become unthankful. We become proud. We become arrogant. We begin to take for granted the many blessings that we can see alongside the things that we're going through right now. We forget to count our blessings, and we begin to become unthankful, and we then get to that point where pride rises within us, and we think we know better than God and say, God, what are you doing? This is not how it should be done. Remember in the story of the Bible about time Jesus healed 10 lepers at one time? Who remembers that story? Okay, good. Luke 17, is it? I think so. Or Luke 10? I forget what it is exactly. Luke 17, yeah, Luke 17. There's these 10 lepers, and they cry out to Jesus, and Jesus just says to them, go to the priest. Just go. Show yourself to the priest. And as they're going, what happens? They get healed, right? As they're going. He just says go, and they start going, and as they're going, then they're healed. Cool story. It's not over yet. Because in that story, one of them comes back. Only one came back out of the 10 to thank him. Jesus noticed him. Notices him that he comes back. Notices that he's not even a Jew, that he's a Samaritan. And he notices that this man comes with a heart full of thanks to the Lord for what he did for him. God notices us when we thank him. Regardless of who we are in the realm of this world, you know, a big person, you know, a small person, you know, a rich person, a poor person, and whatever person we are, you know, God notices us. And he says to this one when he came back, "We're not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? See, all 10 were willing to go through the religious ceremony of requirements, because the priest is the one who only could declare a leper, you know, clean based upon the law. They were willing to go, even on faith, God, you know, the Lord's word, they were willing to go and go through what he said to do for their healing. They didn't say, "Oh, what's he doing? He didn't even touch us. He didn't even get close to us. He just yelled at us to go to the priest." No, they went. All of them did. Before they were healed, they started marching to the priest. They went through that religious, if you will, exercise. "We're going to go to the priest." And as they're going, they get healed. Beautiful. But one says, "Wait a minute. I got to go thank that guy. I got to go back." So they were willing to do the religious ceremony, but only one was filled with true praise and thanksgiving. 9 obey the ritual. Only one really praises the Lord. You know what Jesus says to that man after acknowledging him, that he came back and asking where the other ones are? He says to him, "Listen, your faith has made you well." Now, way back when I was a young Christian, I remember people used to take this verse out of context and really say things that I don't believe this verse is teaching. And they say, "See, if you're get a healing from God and you don't thank him, he'll take your healing away." That's not what this says there. There's nothing in here that implies the other 9 lost their healing and became lepers again. Nothing in the text implies that at all. So what is Jesus saying about your faith has made you well? Wait, didn't they all have faith? Didn't they all walk to the priest? Yeah. You know what Jesus is saying to this man? Yeah, you got a new body. You got new skin, and so do your 9 other companions. But you have a heart that's been changed. You have a heart that has been changed, and you have been made whole not only in your body, but in your soul and deep down to the recesses, because you understand what it means to have a heart of thanksgiving. See, your faith has made you well. You know, could it be that these men, all the rest of them, became people who went through that ceremony? One has a heart of thanksgiving, but the other ones began to, in their own mind, think, "Yeah, this is great." I'm sure they were thankful they weren't lepers anymore, but maybe they started to give themselves credit for it. "Oh, you know, hey, Johnny, you shouted so loud that he heard you. And yeah, and you said those words that got his attention, Johnny. That was really good. And you know, Johnny, it was great because when he said, you know, that go to the priest, you know, Bob said, 'No, what is this? This is nonsense.' But then, you know, then Dave over here said, 'No, let's do it.' Oh, man, we really did a good one here, didn't we?" See, we could begin to think we were responsible for what only comes from God himself. And we forget that nothing that we have. Paul said this, "Why do you do that?" He says this in 1 Corinthians 4. He says, "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not?" Everything. James says every good and perfect gift comes from our Father above, Father of lights. Whatever goes on in our life, we have to have a heart of thanksgiving to say that with nothing, if we did not have our God who shows mercy over what? The saved and the unsaved, right? The just and the unjust. If we didn't have a God in heaven, there would be nothing but hell. And whatever we receive from him, we have to be thankful for. See, ingratitude is not so much a cause of evil as the result of it. It's when our hearts get hardened that we no longer see God as who he is, as the source of all things. And then we become, if you will, a law unto ourselves. You know? So I think that's one of the reasons the Bible takes such a strong stance against unthankfulness or ingratitude. Because God knows that as we read this, you know, we didn't look at those scriptures, but in Romans 1, he says that ungrateful heart is the downward spiral to a reprobate mind that forgets God and his goodness in all circumstances. So yeah, giving thanks to God, it's important. It's needful. I did not have the time, and I don't know that I would be able to, I guess I could at some point, but to find all of the verses in the Bible that talk about thanksgiving, giving thanks to God. I mean, there's got to be hundreds of them. And sometimes they'll tell you, thank him for his love that endures forever. Thank him for his good. Thank him for his mercy. And tells you the reason. But sometimes it doesn't even tell you why to thank him, and that's why we need to thank him always. See, feeling and expressing the gratitude towards God and appreciation that all he's done in every circumstance is good for us. God wants us to learn through our circumstances that when we go through things, both good and bad, that he's working something together out for good. He promised that. And even if we do not see it in the midst of it, we have to begin to thank him. It keeps our heart right. It keeps our relationship with God in good order and good standing because he is the giver of all things. And because of his love for us, he will work all those things together for good. See, giving thanks is good for us because at our very core, our nature, we are covetous people. And we always want to think about and focus on what we do not have as opposed to what we do have. When we give thanks continually in all circumstances, we're reminded of how much we do have. We focus on the blessings rather on the wants or what we don't have, and we are better and happier people for that. When we thank God only for things that we, you know, get all the time and we just take granted, or we forget to thank him and just take granted for all these things, our perspective changes to the worse. And when we begin to thank him for all things, our perspective changes again for the better. Because we cannot even exist without the mercy and the blessings of God. So let's not be thankful just in pleasant situations. Let's not be thankful only for 102 boxes. But we are. Could we have been thankful if 3 came in? Right? Could we be thankful if it was not to what we thought it should be that would relate to what we think was a successful, you know, event, drive, right? Can we say, Father, thank you for the one? Can we be thankful in all things, in all situations? That's why when we have thankful hearts, we can grieve and be thankful. We can hurt and be thankful. We can be angry and be thankful. Hebrews calls this the sacrifice of praise. Did you ever read that in Hebrews chapter 13? Did you ever read about that? Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God that is good. Or excuse me, to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, he goes on to add, because sometimes we are quick to just use our lips, but our hearts aren't lined up. We could say thank you, but our hearts are still feeling ungrateful. But when our hearts are in tune with our lips and our mind and our thoughts are all working together, we not only can say thank you, but then we can do verse 16, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. In other words, when we are thankful people, more than just with our lips, it changes the way we actually live our lives, and God is glorified even more, and people see it, not just hear it. So can you thank him like Noah when all the world is destroyed? Can you thank him like Job when everything is taken away? Can you thank him like Joseph when your family betrays you? How about Daniel? Where Daniel was a young man who got taken away from everything he knew into captivity and went through a whole bunch of stuff in his life, but he was able to thank God no matter what he faced. Can you thank him, like Jonah, to even say, Father, I am grateful for being in the belly of this fish, because these hard consequences that I went through, that I was even the cause of, are bringing me to a place of repentance and understanding your goodness and your mercy even over my enemies. Can you be like Hannah? Who knows Hannah? How many know Hannah? Okay, I got to tell you real quick because there's only a few raised their hand. Hannah is the mother of Samuel, the last really judge of Israel. And you'll find this in the book of 1 Samuel, and you can read her story. It's a wonderful story. I encourage you to read if you never read her story before. But she was married, and her husband had what? Two wives. The other wife had a lot of kids. Hannah had none. Her husband, it says, loved her even more than the other wife. And he would say things to her like, hey, honey, I love you. Aren't I better than 10 sons to you? And she's like, no. You know, she's, I want a child. In that day, not having a child was much, you know, it's painful for many women who cannot have children. But in that day, it was even more so. It was looked at as being a curse from God if you were not able to bear children. And she was miserable. And they went to the tabernacle to offer sacrifices one day. And she was so distraught, she could not eat. She went there to the tabernacle and began to cry out to God. And her mouth was moving, but no words were coming out because she was just so distraught. And the high priest, now get on this, she's a beaten down woman. She's so distraught. She's just can't. And he comes over and says, how long are you going to continue to be drunk? Because he thought she was drunk, the way she was just like mumbling without the words coming out of you. And she says, I'm not drunk. I'm in distress. And she begins to tell him her story. And he says, let God give you what you're asking for. Well, guess what? She goes home, and later she has a child, but she made a promise to God in her prayer that if you bless me with a child, I'll give that child back to you. Now, this meant literally, not just, oh, yeah, I'll make sure that he grows up in, you know, fear of you. Like, no, I'm going to give him back to you to serve in the tabernacle, give him away after God. And guess what? She has this child, and her husband went back year after year to get the sacrifice, but she stayed back while she was weaning the child. Her husband would remind her, remember what you promised, remember what you promised. But she lives up to her promise and brings the child back. But it's interesting in that story, when you read her prayer of thanksgiving, of course she was grateful for the child. But you know what she did? She thanked God for who he is more than the gift of the child that she received from God. She had that heart that said, Father, I am grateful more than for little Samuel. I'm grateful for a God in heaven that understands me. A God in heaven that gets me. A God in heaven that hears me. A God in heaven that knows how to meet my needs. A God in heaven who is greater than anything I lack. Now, God blessed her with other children, and she still saw her firstborn Samuel. But do you have that kind of heart that can thank him for who he is over what he gives? Can you be like Paul, who thanked God in the midst of the literal storm that they were all getting ready to die in, that had gone on for days and days and days? And God said, no, you're going to all be okay. And Paul went out and thanked God while the storm was still raging. Even Jesus taught us that, like Paul, to be able to thank God before we receive the answer of the thing that we're petitioning him for. And when we're able to do that, that gets our minds right. That gets our perspective right. That gets our hearts right. It brings to us the peace that the Bible says surpasses all understanding. Let's read that as we close, right? Be anxious for nothing, But in everything by prayer and supplication, there's the key word comes next. With, say it with me, thanksgiving. Do you know what that means? In all of the stuff, the turmoil, the storm, the rage, everything that you're going through, when you can bring it to God in faith, in prayer, but then thank Him for it before the answer comes, you're thanking Him then for hearing you. You're thanking Him for being with you. You're thanking Him for never leaving you nor forsaking you. You're thanking Him that He's a God who can do the impossible. You're thanking Him for all of who He is and the character of this great God that has saved you from eternal hell and in spite of your sin brought you to Himself through the cross, through this blood of His Son to bring you and reconcile you back. You're thanking Him for all those things even before He responds to your requests. And when you and I are able to do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's thankfulness, church. There's a lot to grouse about. Even today when you came in here, even in church, when you look around and say some things and go, no, let's be thankful. I'm thankful for every one of us who's here today. I'm thankful for the ones that aren't here that will be here soon. I'm thankful for the ones that cannot be here that we're going to remember to call and pray for and encourage them and maybe drive them to church because they want to be here, but nobody's reached out yet. I want to be thankful for our God who no matter if one shows up or 1,000,000,000 show up, He is here with us. I want to thank God for the shoe boxes. I'm going to thank God for the delivery of the boxes. I'm going to thank God for Samaritan's Purse. I'm going to thank God for Martin coming up and play a worship song to close in, which he's going to come up now and start to do. I want to thank God because my heart wants to thank Him for who He is, not just what He's done. And that peace will guard our hearts. Father, thank You. Thank You for You. Thank You for this relationship, Lord God, that You have given us, that You have provided for us, that we do not deserve. Thank You that, Lord, You want to spend eternity with us. Thank You that You loved us so much that when we rebelled against You, Lord, You came into this world to do what we can never do, to give Your life in our place so that we can have an opportunity of eternal life with You. Father, give us hearts of thanksgiving. Let us always be grateful in all things. Let us rejoice in You for not what we get from You, but for You, for who You are. And Lord, I pray that for all of us it would be contagious and that people would look at us as thankful people when times when we shouldn't be thankful and would want to know our secret. They would want to know for this hope that's within us and that would give us an opportunity to tell them about You. And we thank You for those opportunities so that others can come into the kingdom also. So Lord, we thank You for who You are and that one day we will be with You forever. Lord, let Your word not return void, but let it accomplish everything that You desire to accomplish today in and through us, that You would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.